Bible this evening, if you'll turn with me to the Gospel of Luke in the 4th chapter. That's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. And it's good to have some visiting with us tonight. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. So encouraged to see each of you tonight. You've built up my faith because you came to serve the Lord and to worship Him. And when you see those of like precious faith serving God, it encourages us and it helps us in our endeavor to serve Him. And we're so thankful you're here tonight to show your love for the Lord and to encourage one another. In the book of Luke, in the 4th chapter, if you will, begin reading with me at verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. In the book of Luke and the 4th chapter, I want you to take note that Jesus had got up to teach at that particular time. And if you take note, after he reads the scripture, he does something in verse 20. In verse 20, the Bible says he closed the book. And if you have your Bible, may I suggest you underscore that phrase, as that will be the thought for our study tonight. I want us to stop and recognize that on some things, Jesus has closed the book. There are some things that have come to an end that Jesus has proclaimed and Jesus has fulfilled. And when Jesus closes the book and when Jesus has fulfilled that, I need to understand that everything he has said has come to pass or will come to pass. If you take your Bible this evening and look with me in the book of John and the 12th chapter, I need to understand that Jesus has closed the book of Old Testament prophecy. That when I look at the books of the Old Testament, I recognize those prophecies point to the coming of Jesus Christ. In the book of John, in the 12th chapter, take note that Jesus on this occasion is speaking, and he states to the people in verse 49, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Here is the Son of the living God saying, "I speak from the authority of heaven. I speak from that which the Father gave me." So no longer do we live under the law of Moses. No longer do we live in that dispensation and keep the law of the prophets. But we now live in a new dispensation, and we keep a covenant with Christ. So I recognize tonight that though the Old Testament prophecies are important, and I recognize the Old Testament teaching is important, I am not in a covenant as Moses and the people were. I am now in a covenant with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you take your Bible, look, if you will, in the book of Acts in the 2nd chapter. In the book of Acts, in the 2nd chapter, on the day of Pentecost, you'll find the teaching of Peter after Jesus had been raised from the dead. And notice he is ushering into the people the kingdom of Christ, this new covenant. And in the book of Acts, in the 2nd chapter, notice in verse 30, "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption." Notice at this time, Peter's talking about David. And he is talking about that individual, the David the king. And he says, David the patriarch, David the prophet, David the king, had said that Jesus would come and he would be raised from the dead and he would be the King of Kings. So tonight I recognize the old covenant has been done away with. I'm no longer bound by the law of Moses. I am in a covenant with Christ when I come to Christ. Look in your Bible, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, notice what Paul had to say in verse 20. for all the promises of God in Him. Look at that phrase. All the promises of God are where? In Christ. All the promises of God in Him are yes and in Him. Amen. To the glory of God through us. Now He who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. I recognize tonight that the Old Testament is important. And yet at the same time, Jesus has closed the book. I'm no longer bound by the law of Moses. But that brings up the second thought. If you have your Bible, look, if you will, in the book of Matthew and the 5th chapter. And you'll find where Jesus had come and told them that He had not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. If you have your Bible, look in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 17, He says, "Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Here is the Son of God who is the fulfillment of that. He is the one that would be the individual through whom our redemption is made. Look in your Bible in the Galatian letter for just a moment and the 3rd chapter. When you come to the Galatian letter and the 3rd chapter, look at the statement made by the Apostle Paul in verse 24. He said, "Therefore the law," that's the Old Testament, "was our tutor," or our schoolmaster, "to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Now look at that, by faith. In verse 23, He said, "before faith came." What did they have before faith? Before the faith in Christ, they were what? Kept under guard by the law. That's the old covenant. But we're no longer bound by that. He says the faith has come in verse 25. We're no longer under the tutor or the schoolmaster. We are now in Christ. So Jesus has closed the book of the Old Testament prophecy, and Jesus has closed the book of the old law. But that brings up a third thought in our study. If you take your Bible for just a moment, look if you will, in the book of Matthew and the 28th chapter. When you come to the book of Matthew and the 28th chapter, you'll find that Jesus has also closed the book on the New Testament. And what I mean by that is that Jesus has given us everything we need in our day through the divine word. That individuals are not still being guided to write down more. That the faith has been delivered once for all. Look, if you will, in Matthew 28 and look at what Jesus said in verse 18. In Matthew 28 and 18, He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Do you recognize tonight that the one I listen to is Jesus Christ? Well, why? Someone may say, "Preacher, why?" Notice what Jesus said. He has all authority. You know what that eliminates tonight? The man who's over in Vatican City and gets up and says he can change laws and make laws, he, my friend, is 100% wrong. He is nothing more than a man. He doesn't have authority. Jesus said He had all authority. Do you recognize that no board, no catechism, no creed, no man has the right to change the authority of Jesus Christ? When I read the Bible, Jesus said He has all authority. And He's closed the book. There's to be no more additions. There's to be no subtractions. We're to take what God's Word says and we're to follow that. God has given us His book and Jesus has closed the book. He said there's to be no more. You remember what happened in the Old Covenant after God had given the law in the book of Deuteronomy in the 20th chapter? You remember the statement? The Bible says He added no more. You recognize that when God gave the book, God gave the law, He added no more. The same is true with the New Testament. We have no right to add to what God has given us. And we have no right to take away. Look, if you will, in the book of John again in the 12th chapter, that we read just a moment ago. And when you come back to the book of John in the 12th chapter, just go up one verse. Look at what He says in verse 48. "He who rejects Me and does not receive My words." Look at that, My words. Not someone else's words, not the preacher's words, not the elder's words, not any man. "He who does not receive My words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." So tonight, I recognize this much. I recognize He's closed the book of Old Testament prophecy. I recognize he's closed the Old Testament, as is taught in Colossians 2, having wiped away the requirements that were against us. And now I recognize he's closed the New Testament. He has given me all I need in his word to enter into a covenant relationship and to be his disciple. But that brings up a fourth thing in our study. Have you ever thought that Jesus has closed the book of salvation? He's told us everything we need in order to be saved. Sometimes you'll have people come along and say, "Now, preacher, I don't believe that. I believe that I need to be directed by my feelings." Well, I'm going to tell you, that's a very strange way to live your life. When God has told you what you need to do and say, "Oh, no, I'm going to go contrary to that and let my feelings guide me." If you take your Bible, notice what is said in the book of Luke and the 19th chapter. When you come to the book of Luke and the 19th chapter, notice what Jesus had to say. And let the words of Jesus be that which guides us. In Luke 19, notice what he said in verse 9. "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come," watch it, "to seek and to save that which was lost." What was the purpose of the coming of Christ? To seek and to save. Now then, take your Bible and look in the Hebrew letter and the 9th chapter and see how he accomplished that. How did he accomplish salvation? Well, the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 9 and verse 22, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission." So I know this much: Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and Jesus shed his blood on the cross so that my sins could be taken care of. He paid the penalty. He was the sacrifice. He took my place. Oh, I've been reading where a lot of preachers want to say that's not the case. I want to tell you the Bible says he is my sacrifice. Have you ever stopped to think of the blood he shed? Have you ever stopped to think that God has given us a plan of salvation? Look back, if you will, in the book of Acts in the 2nd chapter. In the book of Acts, in the 2nd chapter, we've preached it, we've quoted it, we know exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost, and yet I wonder if we appreciate the simplicity and at the same time how profound it is. When in verse 37, they were cut by the preaching of Peter. They recognized their sin. They recognized they were guilty of crucifying the Christ with their sin. And they said, "What shall we do?" And Peter says in 38, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Look at that. Your sins can be blotted out. There's no other way to be saved except through Jesus Christ. You can't do it. You could go out and do good works from the time the dawning of the sun to the setting of the sun, and you couldn't earn good works enough to be saved. You could go out and you could build great monuments to God and you could do a lot of great things. But I want you to stop and recognize no one's going to be saved unless they come to God on God's terms. And when one comes to God, they need to recognize that salvation is a gift. And salvation is free, but I want you to understand the rest of your life, you're going to be living for Him. He's closed that book. But that brings up a fifth thought in our study. When I look at Jesus and I see that Jesus closed the Old Testament prophecies and Jesus closed the Old Law and Jesus has closed the New Testament as the apostles have written this Word of God, and I think about salvation, I think of one other book. And He hasn't closed that book yet, but there's coming a day it will be closed. Open your Bible to the book of Luke in the 10th chapter. When you come to the book of Luke in the 10th chapter, notice with me what Jesus had to say. In Luke chapter 10, notice that Jesus had sent out the 70 apostles and they return and they're rejoicing. And they say in verse 17, "Even the demons are subject to us in your name." And look at verse 18. Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." I've often wondered about that picture. Not a whole lot there except Jesus said he saw it. He left that spiritual realm we talked about last Lord's Day evening and now he's on this earth. But look at what he says in verse 19. "Behold, I give you that authority." There was no other authority that would work except the authority Jesus gave. And what did Jesus say? All authority had been given to him. He has the right to delegate. And he said, I've given you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But look at verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Look at that. God has a book. God keeps a record. And you can go through the Old Testament and you'll find Moses talking about the book. You'll find Malachi talking about a book. And notice here, Jesus says, your name is recorded. Now then, look in the Revelation letter in the 21st chapter. In the Revelation letter and the 21st chapter, or the 20th chapter, excuse me. Notice what is said in verse 12. Here's John as he sees this great revelation. And notice the statement, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Oh, look at that. It's the record. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. I want to raise a question to you tonight. While the book of life is still open, is your name recorded there? I bought a book the other day. It just came in the mail, and I've been reading it. It's called Giants of the Pulpit, and I've been reading through it, and I can't find my name anywhere in that book. And I just got disgusted, and I went back, and I said, surely there's an oversight. No, my name's not in the book. And I looked, and Frank, your name's not in the book. I know, disappoint you. In fact, the business, hardly anybody I knew personally. Nobody personally I knew was in the book. But you know what, my friend? My name might not be in any book here. But oh, I want my name in that book. And I may not be much in the eyes of man, and that's fine. But I want to tell you something. I want to be God's child. And in His eyes, I want my name in His book. And before that day, I need to recognize I'm writing a book. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2, 2 through 3, when Paul was writing, he said, you are living epistles. And I want to know, what are you writing with your life? Because there's going to come a day, the book will be closed. Your life will be over. And I want to know, what have you written? And I want to raise another question. How often have you opened this book? Jesus has the authority to close the Old Testament. Jesus has the authority to close and say when things are accomplished. Jesus is the one who has all authority. But you know what He's told us? We need to open the book so we can know what Jesus has said. God pity the day that we who say we love the truth have dusty Bibles and dirty lives because we don't open them. Oh, I would that we could have our Bibles open. I remember one time a fellow was saying something about my Bible falling apart. I had another one that just ripped up. And I remembered reading a quotation the fellow said, and I used the quotation. He said, if you see a man's Bible falling apart, it's a good sign his life isn't. Why? He knows God's will. Now, that ain't always true. But I want to tell you, we need to have open books. Because when the book is closed, the book of life, that's it. When the book of our life is written, that's it. And in eternity, the book will stay closed, never to be opened again. Is your name in the book of life? I would I had the ability to get men and women to see the importance of the book of life and the importance of this book and open it and study it. And God be the day we close this book and don't follow it. And then in the day of judgment, the book of life is closed. And we hear, I never knew you. Why? Your name wasn't recorded. Depart from me. If you're here and you need to be baptized or restored, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.